Welcome to the Bentley Priory Museum podcast. I'm Tim, and I'm joined today by the editor of this podcast series, Alex. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Tim. It's good to be back.
Perhaps we could start, Alex, because as well as being the editor of this podcast series, you are the curator of the new exhibition at Bentley Priory Museum, Memoirs of the Blitz. Perhaps you can start by giving us an outline of that exhibition?
Yes, so Memoirs of the Blitz is a temporary exhibition that allows visitors to hear and interact with original oral history accounts by those who were children during World War II. The exhibition is aimed at an intergenerational audience, promoting conversation and reflection on the trauma of war and conflict. The project both preserves the memories of those who are slowly fading away from us and acts as a topical reflection on conflict today. When I curated the exhibition, I broke it down into sections. So for instance, we have home away from home, life under shelter, playing with fire, and more. In this first episode, we will be focusing on the section called Home Away from Home, and more specifically, the stories of refugees who come from Germany before the start of the war. With that in mind, I think it's time to jump into the oral history clips and listen to more about the experiences of both Manfred and George and how they come to be in the UK by the start of the war.
I had a father and a mother and a brother living in Germany, in Leipzig. And my father, like other Jewish people, had a guarantor in England, another Jewish gentleman who he didn't know, but this man will have a job when he comes to England. That's how he got into England in 1933. And he left his wife and two sons behind. And we followed in November 1935 and arrived in London, two or three nights in London, and then moved up to Nottingham. November 1935. My brother and I did not know one word of English. My mother didn't either. But my brother and I went to school within two or three weeks, speaking German only. But being at school with other students, we learned to speak English within weeks or months. Like everybody else, I wanted to be helpful. And I joined something called the Air Raid Warden Messenger. Students had helping them with bicycles and things like that. And so I was involved in that to a certain extent for some years.
My name is George Summerfield, and my memory of the Blitz goes back to the time when I was 7 years old. I well remember the time. My identical twin brother Peter and I were born on the 3rd of June 1933 in Berlin, shortly after Adolf Hitler came into power. From that time onwards, our family life became increasingly difficult. Our parents made every effort to try to leave and eventually were helped by relatives in Pennsylvania, USA, to obtain visas for entry to America. We were very fortunate to escape, although virtually penniless, just 4 days before the start of the Second World War, with rail travel by Holland to England and intention to travel by boat to America. However, travel to the USA became impossible, and so our family adjusted to life in England and adapted to all the changes and to cope with the problems caused by the start of the war.
So I suspect after listening to those clips, you probably felt the way that I felt when I was sat talking and interviewing these people. It really illustrates what was happening in Germany at the time and the severity of the situation. So Tim, what comes to mind when you was listening to these accounts?
Yeah, I think what makes these accounts interesting for me, Alex, is that both families made their own way to the UK with the help of friends and relatives outside Germany. I think they illustrate that refugees, individuals and families from Nazi oppression, were making their way to friendly countries over a number of years before the Second World War, following Hitler's accession to power in 1933. think that contrasts with the more well-known movement of around 10,000 children to the United Kingdom from Nazi Germany and some occupied countries in the Kinder Transport, which took place over a relatively short space of time between late 1938 and the outbreak of war. So as I say, that contrast between the well-known, relatively focused exodus of young people from oppression in Nazi Germany with that experience of whole families and moving with the help of family and friends.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's kind of similar to what we're seeing today with conflict around the world. And, you know, most recently, Ukraine, you have these waves of families and people coming out of the country and seeking refuge and safety. It's interesting there also, though, because George mentioned about his father being interned when he arrived in the UK. Can you tell us more about that, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, war with Germany brought a growing fear that Germans and Austrians living in England, and there were about 80,000 of them at the start of the war, that they might include people spying for the Nazis. Initially, people were assessed and placed into one of three categories, Group A, to be interned immediately, of which there were about 600. Group B, doubtful cases whose movement was restricted, and Group C, who were deemed to be of no security risk at all. But with Hitler's invasion of Western European countries in the spring of 1940, more wide-scale internment began. And with the entry of Italy into the war in June 1940, the definition of enemy alien was extended to people of Italian extraction. In all, around 30,000 people were interned, most on the Isle of Man, like George's father, with around 7,000 being deported to countries like Canada and Australia. Interestingly, there was quite a bit of opposition in the country and in Parliament to this concept of internment, and the first releases started in August 1940, so relatively short period after the whole thing had started. By mid-1942, the number of internees had been reduced to about 5,000. It's worth noting that over 1,700 British subjects were interned too. Many of those were members of the British Union of Fascists.
You know, it's really interesting because I suppose back then, nobody knew who was coming. Obviously, in good faith, the government and, you know, people that were opening their arms to sort of help these people would have done so, you know, thinking that they were helping. But obviously it would have also been an ideal opportunity to perhaps send spies across to the UK and other countries that these people were going to. So, you know, it makes perfect sense that in a way they needed to be mindful and careful of what was happening. And thinking about that, both of the interviews took us very quickly to the outbreak of war.
Yeah, they did. And given that we are producing these podcasts for Bentley Priory Museum, and Bentley Priory, of course, at the time at the outbreak of war was the headquarters of Fighter Command, it's possibly worth noting what was happening from their perspective at the outbreak of war. Whilst the German invasion of Poland on the 1st of September eventually gave rise to Britain's declaration of war, steps had already been taken in late August to prepare the country's defences. For Fighter Command, this included, as Churchill put it, the full deployment of the anti-aircraft defences. Its reservists and squadrons of the Auxiliary Air Force were called up, and the posts and centres of the then Observer Corps were manned. So that was before the war actually broke out.
I think it's really great to kind of put that into a bit more perspective, what would have been happening overall at that time. And I think it's really good at this point to sort of touch upon both Manfred and George, and actually George's twin brother when I spoke to him at a later stage. how grateful they all were for England, the UK, and, you know, to be here and the opportunities that that gave them. When you reflect on what would have been happening back in their home in Germany, you know, obviously life was very different here. They all went to school very quickly when they got here. You know, they were taken care of. And I think, you know, they've never forgotten that. And I think that's really nice to remember that. And George, you know, he talks about our Spitfires and, you know, they have such passion for the UK now. And I think they've really kind of fitted in to our culture and our heritage. And, you know, that's just a result of the kindness of our country in a way.
Yeah, that struck me too. I mean, it was really heartening to listen to him talking about our Spitfires and that feeling of gratitude and integration. And I think that shows society at its best, and worth reflecting on what a huge difference that made to his life, to his family's lives, not just immediately. You know, it's not just the immediate, if you like, safety of being in another country without that oppression, but the impact of that for so many years afterwards. And it's that really strikes me with those accounts. Yes, there's the immediate feeling of safety, but where that works really well, that has a huge and lasting impact. And I think it probably, we don't have the accounts of the people who helped take those people under their wings in this country. But I wouldn't mind betting it had an impact on their lives for the better too.
Of course, absolutely. And, you know, I wish that we was in a position to talk to those people more that, you know, took them in and looked after them and those families, because I'm sure, as you say, it would have impacted on their lives and they would have had a very different perspective of it. But one, obviously, I'm sure, of happiness. And I think it's also, again, worth mentioning here about Manfred and George, and again, his twin brother, Peter. You know, they haven't ever stopped giving back since, you know, the UK as a country give to them. You know, they're still going out now, giving talks about what happened to them. I know Manfred is actively going around talking about the Holocaust to groups and museums. Then, of course, George and his twin brother, Peter, well, they did a talk at Bentley Priory Museum when the exhibition opened. But, you know, they're constantly doing this. They're going around schools and places and just, you know, educating people on what happened then. And I think that really fits into what my exhibition is and what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be this intergenerational conversation between different people, and the fact that they're actively doing that just out of the kindness and will of their heart, I guess, that's just something that is really very important to me and I think should be treasured greatly by everyone.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Alex. And, you know, great job on the exhibition. And I hope many more people take advantage and come and experience it, because it is an experience.
Absolutely. And of course, if you haven't already visited the museum and the exhibition Memoirs of the Blitz, I do encourage you to go, take your families, your friends, anyone, and just have a conversation and use this as a tool, you know, to reflect on the trauma of those who were in the war.
Well, I think for this episode of our podcast series, that probably wraps it up. We're looking forward to the next podcast when we'll look at the experience of evacuees within the United Kingdom. But until then, Alex, I wish you all the best and look forward to us talking again very soon.
Yes, of course. And thank you for listening and take care.